Welcome, friends, to April 11th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I'm your host, Joe DeCristofaro. And one of the reasons why I do this show is because I am on a mission from Uncle Sam to make history as fun and exciting as one could possibly make a history podcast. By the way, if you're listening to this on iTunes, just so you know, I love a good review. So do me a solid and give me one. And now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now on to today's headlines. Lincoln delivers his last speech.
Today is Henry and Clara Ford's anniversary, and Monroe and Livingston will go to negotiate with Napoleon for Louisiana.
All right, so let's get started. 1865. Lincoln delivers his final speech. It was his last because John Wilkes Booth was in the audience, and he promised this to his co-conspirator David Herold while Lincoln was giving the speech. The speech was actually really boring. President Abraham Lincoln, easily the best speaker in the country and possibly the entire world in those days, sounded like he was speaking at a funeral. Confederate General Robert E. Lee had just surrendered to Ulysses Grant at the Appomattox Courthouse 2 days prior, and the streets of Washington, D.C. were filled with thousands of people partying it up now that the Civil War was essentially over. These people had lost their brothers, sons, husbands, and fathers to the Confederate Army, and the South needed to be punished. The crowd had clamored for the president to give his speech the day before, but Lincoln wanted to take his time to prepare it thoughtfully. The Marine Marching Band played Lincoln's favorite song, Dixie, and his friend Noah Brooks held the candle in front of the president while he prepared to deliver the speech from the White House second balcony window. Quote, "We meet this evening, not in sorrow but in gladness of heart. The evacuation of Petersburg and Richmond and the surrender of the principal insurgent army give hope of a righteous and speedy peace whose joyous expression cannot be restrained." Unquote. The more Lincoln talked, the more disgusted Booth got. His plan was to kidnap the president, but after watching this, he realized he would need to take much harsher action. Thanks to the 13th Amendment, African Americans were now considered citizens. They could vote in elections. They could marry a white woman. Heck, they could run for office, even the presidency of the United States. Booth would have none of this. As he stood there seething, his buddy Harold stood next to him with his hunting rifle. Booth told him to put a bullet in his head right now. Harold, crazy as he was, knew better that the crowd would crucify him surely if he did that. No, Booth would have to come up with a better plan to kill the president. For now, he simply hissed the words, "That's the last speech he will ever make." 3 days later, Booth would keep his word.
Moving on to 1888. Happy anniversary, Henry and Clara Ford. The couple met at a New Year's dance in Michigan in 1885. They enjoyed dancing, corn husking, parties, and boating trips. What, you thought I was going to say long walks in the park too? Well, I'm not. She liked his mechanical talents, and he liked her serious and appreciative disposition. In 1886, they got engaged, but her mom got them to wait a couple years for Clara to grow up a little bit more. Henry's father gave them a farm to live in, but in 1891, the couple moved to Detroit, where Henry went to work for Edison Illuminating Company. What a bright idea! Ha ha! In 1893, they had their first and only child, a boy named Edsel. In 1896, Henry Ford completed the quadricycle, which, as the name would suggest, had four tires along with a gasoline engine. The Ford couple lived in 10 different rental homes while Henry was working on automobiles, incorporating Ford Motor Company in 1903, and then launched the Model T 3 years later. By the time 1915 rolled around, haha, get it, rolled around, the Fords moved into a mansion in Dearborn, Michigan. The home included an indoor swimming pool, a billiard table, bowling alley, and dance floor, since the Fords liked to dance. And finally, 1803. Vente de la Louisiana. France controlled the Louisiana Territory from 1699 until 1762, the year it ceded the territory to Spain. Thanks to Napoleon Bonaparte, France took back the territory in 1800 and tried to establish a French empire in North America. Well, President Thomas Jefferson at the time was hoping to expand the United States westward. So naturally, he hoped that his minister of France, Robert Livingston, would at least get control of New Orleans so the U.S. could have the gateway to the Mississippi River. At first, it was a no-go. But in early 1803, Jefferson sent James Monroe to Paris to assist Livingston, and Napoleon was a lot more eager to talk. The reason why was because things weren't going well between France and England. And it looked like they were going to go to war. Napoleon couldn't afford to stretch his military forces that far, and he figured better to sell Louisiana to the Americans than have it fall into the hands of his enemy. Good plan. Incidentally, the purchase included present-day Arkansas, Missouri, Iowa, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, parts of Minnesota, most of North Dakota, most of South Dakota, northeastern New Mexico, northern Texas, and parts of Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado east of the Continental Divide. The price? 15 mil, which equals about 236 mil today. This is the day in 1803 when French Foreign Minister Charles Maurice de Talleyrand made the offer.
So that's it for April 11th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you thought about today's episode.
Or what about Lincoln's last speech? Is it any wonder that Booth didn't fire his weapon right then and there?
Car fans, what was your favorite Ford model? I think mine was the Mustang. Louisiana Purchase buffs, how bad was Napoleon's complex anyway? So let me know what you thought about all that and more on the comment board on the website. And check out tomorrow's program.
I'll talk about the space race,
Fort Sumter, and Rock Around the Clock. In the meantime, you can hit me up on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone.